The new thing is actually that it's coupled to matter. And so the title is Open Closed Duality for Topological Gravity with Matter. And I want to thank the organizers that I can speak here again. Now, this is work actually done in collaboration with Aki Hashimoto from the University of Medicine, Mingxin Huang, our postdoc from the university, and student of Cyberg at the IRS, David Shi. So this gauge string duality or open closed duality has many physical applications. So the first time it came up in physics was due to Toft. Is there a pointer actually? There's some pointer. Ah, this one. Okay. So, so he proposed that large NQCD is actually dual to a closed string theory, and this is prohibitively hard, so you cannot make too much out of it. And it has more recently given an easier incarnation by Maldacena, which basically says that large NQCD with n equal 4 supersymmetry is dual to closed type 2 string on ADS 5 times n 5. But this is still very hard, so there are only in certain limits you can make some exact calculations. So the main topic or the main aim of this talk is to find easier topological versions. And one which is well known and has appeared in many talks before is this version of Gopakumar and Wafa, who propose and actually check, because both theories are completely solvable, that Chern-Simon theory on S3 is dual to closed topological string on these two line bundles over P1. And this has generalized in many, many ways to these toric geometries. And by now, you can calculate basically all these amplitudes on these toric geometries using this vertex, which is a generalization of this duality when you include also Wilson line operators. Now, today I want to talk about an even simpler case. And so maybe it's the simplest pair that you can imagine. So we investigate a very simple dual situation. One is a Hermitian matrix model, which is the gauge theory. And there's various of such theories. And the other theory is critical string theory in two dimensions. Well, I mean, it's two-dimensional gravity. It is also pure gravity. And it's gravity coupled to topological P, 1 matter. That is basically the new thing. So the title was that that you couple this to matter. And actually, the case without the matter was done by Maldacena, Moore, Cybeck, and Shi. Now, what is the connection of the theory? So I had mixed up a little bit the gauge theory and closed string duality and the open string duality to the closed string duality. But this first step is, so to say, very trivial, because you basically would use your open string action on the brain, and then you get a gauge theory. And then the second step is the one which is really interesting. So you basically, if you talk about gauge string duality or open closed duality, the decisive step is this step. Now, this I will investigate for the C less than one non-critical string. And to say a little bit what this is, so in the context of the Calabi-Yau geometries, we basically always talk about critical string. So there the Weyl and diffeomorphism invariance is maintained at the quantum level, and the worksheet metric can be gauged away. So for instance, you can pick a diagonal worksheet metric at AB. Now, in the string, in the non-critical string theory, there is the anomaly does not cancel. So basically, this breaks down at the quantum level. And there will be a residual metric dependence at the quantum level, which is described by this Liouville sector. Now, this Liouville action is written down here. So it's basically this Liouville field. And it couples in this strange way, where this exponent is the Liouville coupling, and the mu is the cosmological constant of the series. If you try to make sense out of the theory, you have to introduce a background charge to keep the conformal invariance, and the background charge is related to this. So this is also B to this parameter, to this Liouville coupling. And of course, this Liouville field is a bosonic field, so it would have central charge 1. But this background charge actually shifts the central charge value to something which is bigger than 25. And now the reparametrization ghosts still contribute minus 26. So if you have the bosonic reparametrization ghost, you have a contribution of minus 6. And that means you can couple to this theory everything which is between 0 and 1 in the central charge to cancel the anomaly. And in particular, there are not so many conformal field theories between 0 and 1. And the ones which they are classified. And these are these minimal models, which have a central charge which is given by this always appearing parameters P and Q. And the central charge of these minimal models is given by this formula and is always smaller than 1. So it approaches 1, but it never reaches 1. Now, if you put together all the ingredients, the central charge of the Liouville sector, the central charge of the ghost, and this matter system, then you can see that if you choose this Liouville coupling to be so that the square of the Liouville coupling is P over Q, then you get a cancellation of the anomaly. Now, this theory has been very well studied in the early 90s of last century, and so it's basically everything about, or many things about this theory are known. So in particular, this PQ rational matter is a rational conformal field theory, and it has only a finite number of residual primaries, which are labeled by two integers, which go from 1 to p minus 1, and s goes from 1 to q minus 1. And there is a symmetries among these primaries. And their conformal dimension is also is a rational number. And in particular, these are all degenerate representations of the Virasoro algebra, so you get a finite truncation of these rings, and the fusion ring is written here. Now, in the full theory, a general operator will have a part which comes from this ghost sector, so this is a polynomial in the ghost degrees of freedom and some Virasoro generators. And then there is this field of the minimal matter, that the primary fields that we just discussed. And then there is a vertex operator of the Liouville field. And now this vertex operator, with taking into account the shifted dimension, actually has this form. And then if it has this form, then this Liouville sector is also degenerate. So it's a degenerate representation of the of the Virasoro algebra. Now, it's easy to see that the ghost number is conserved in this operator product expansion, so you get rings of various ghost number. And of particular interest is the ground ring, which has ghost number 0, and this is generated by two fields. And since the Virasoro ring, the ring of Virasoro primaries is finite, you have to have relations in this ring. And the relations are best expressed if you write this in terms of Chebyshev polynomials, the general field of Chebyshev polynomials of this generating field. And then the ring relations are just the fact that the Chebyshev polynomial of index q minus 1 and p minus 1 is actually 0. So that defines a geometry. And in fact, you can also check that there is an additional relation, this immediately defines you a ring, and so this is modeled out by this ideal generated by these relations. And so there's immediately a geometry in this business of C equal 1, C less than 1 theory. You can also look at the ghost number 1, and that is the tachyon ring. Actually, tachyon doesn't isn't dangerous in two dimensions. It doesn't create an instability. And if you look at those, you can see here explicitly how this ghost polynomial looks like and how this how the tachyon vertex operators look like. And of course, you can also write them in terms of one tachyon operator and this ring relations. And in this way, you can get all the tachyon operators. And likewise, they fulfill also some relations, which in fact determine many of the tachyon correlators. Now, what we need, and what is somewhat new, is that we need brains in this minimal string theory. Now, since there is a discrete number of real solid primaries, actually this is not quite true, but there is a discrete subset of real solid primaries, and the theory is simple enough, you can achieve a complete classification. So in the part where the spectrum is discrete, it basically means that you enumerate the Cardy states in the open string sector, and and in the this leads to this so-called ZZ brains. So these are labeled also by integers which run from 1 to p minus 1 and q minus 1 respectively with this relation. But there's also a continuous set of extended D brains, so these are zero brains, which is semi-infinite in the phi direction, in the Liouville direction, as we will see in the next transparency. So these are called FZZT brains, and actually this stands for Fateyev, Samolodchikov, Samolodchikov, and Teschner, and this stands for Samolodchikov, Samolodchikov. So the so this FZZT brains have a continuous parameter, which is the boundary cosmological constant. And you can see that it occurs in the following way in the complete action. So this is the bulk action, and you have this boundary action. And if you look at the equation of motion, you find that this has these boundary conditions. So you get brain boundary conditions, which are labeled by this cosmological constant. Now you can draw a nice picture of the wave function in mini superspace of this FZZZ brain, so that you know where they are in the Liouville direction, basically. And the picture is that if you write this wave function, which is basically the state phi sandwiched with the vacuum labeled by the operator mu b, then you get something which is an exponential to an exponential. So it has the strange feature that if phi is negative, then it's almost always exactly as at 1. And then if this phi comes in the region so that this exponential becomes 1 and starts dropping, then it starts dropping really heavily, and then it is almost always 0. So it looks like that's what we mean by a semi-infinite brain. And the picture is basically that we use this tip of the semi-infinite brain as a probe of our geometry. So this is a common thing that one does in string theory. In order to investigate a geometry, you put a brain in that, and you analyze the geometry while looking at the effective action which is induced at the brain. Now, this you can also associate a Cardy state to this. This Cardy state is then labeled not a discrete parameter, by a continuous parameter, and this continuous parameter is related to this boundary cosmological constant in this way. And you see that if you look what kind of a vertex operator corresponds to this, is this vertex operator where you have replaced this alpha by a quantity which contains, beside of the background charge, this continuous parameter, which is basically the boundary cosmological constant. So this graph is basically how this wave function of the FZZZ brain behaves as a function of the Liouville direction, phi. So the phi is the Liouville direction. So often sometimes people say this is C, a D equal 1 series. Sometimes they say D equal 2. It depends whether they count the Liouville direction with the, I mean, in the C equal 1 case, you couple in addition a boson. And then you can either count the Liouville direction as a second space-time direction or not. And we will actually have the picture that it is this is a second target space direction. Well, you just plot this function. If there is no sign mistake, do you see something? This is an equal sign. No, no. I mean the I mean it drops it extremely rapidly because it's exponential to the exponent. So I have not a fine enough marker to show you how this looks for large psi phi. But the idea, as I said, is that you now look at this cosmological constant as a target space parameter, and so we call this X is mu b, and it's related by this relation with the Cardi state with the sigma of this of the Cardi state. And now what is nice in this theory that you can calculate the classical disk amplitude exactly. So what is the picture? So we have a classical target space, but it's modified because you have disks ending on this FZZ plane, and the first approximation to this modified target space is to include the disk. This will be not enough because there are instantons at all genera, but let's first try to do it with the disk. So see how this target space, which is just here a complex plane, that's modified by the disk contribution. Now, if you can calculate, as I said, this disk amplitude, and you find that it depends on X, and now you get X is mu b, and you get Y is the derivative. You define Y as the derivative of this disk amplitude with respect to X, and this is given by cosine hyperbolicus of a quantity which also depends on the Z, on the sigma, like this depend on sigma. Now you can see that between this two X and Y there is an algebraic relation, which is just given by taking the Chebyshev polynomials of X and Y, which are the so the relation is given here. And this we view as a semi-classical approximation to the target space. Now, if you look what this equation means, then you just have to recall that the Chebyshev polynomials go with, so if a Chebyshev polynomial of index r goes with x to the r, and that means this is some deformed curve which has genus p minus 1 and q minus 1 over 2. So this the X plane, which was actually just a complex plane in the picture without the disk instantons, branches into a Riemann surface. Now you can see, moreover, if you look at the singular locus of this X of this relation of this Riemann surface, then by virtue of the relation that the Chebyshev polynomial of the first time, if you take the derivative, can be expressed by the Chebyshev polynomials of the second time kind, you get singularities which are precisely at u p minus 1 y equals 0 and u q minus 1 from x equals 0. And if you have look carefully at what I said so far, you see that these are precisely the relations in the ground ring of the topological string tree. So the semi-classical geometry, or the geometry where I include the disk instanton, is precisely given by the ground ring of the of the C equal 1 P comma model coupled to P comma Q. And in fact, this is very similar to the geometry of B brains, because the geometry in B brains, the topological string theory that we used, or that people used to calculate disk amplitudes in Calabi-Yau, are actually also given by Riemann surface. And you can see this geometry, I mean, the relation actually between the disk instanton and the geometry is precisely the same than it is here. So there's certainly a strong relation between open topological Calabi-Yau with B-brains and CEQ1 model. Now, in particular, this strong relation becomes clear if you recapitulate how people calculate the disk instantions from the geometry of the Calabi-Yau curve. So basically there you have a non-compact Calabi-Yau, which is in which the non-compact brain sits at U equal V equals 0, so either U or V equals 0. And then the disk instantons which contribute to this geometry are actually given precisely by the same formula than it is holds for the C equal 1 string. So you have basically that this parameter y, which in the Calabi-Yau context is often called p, is the derivative of this disk amplitude function, and the disk amplitude function describes the curve which underlies the geometry of the B-brain. So this function here, this w, is basically obtained by looking for the moduli space of the D-brain, setting u to 0, and solving p for x, and then integrating it, and that is the disk amplitude. So that is exactly the same relation that we have in the C equal 1 string. And in fact, in this picture, as has also been shown in another paper by Aganacic, Digraph, Mourinho, and Wasser and myself, can also be used to analyze the less equal one string series, and then the compact brains are, so to say, nowadays improved knowledge would be identified with the FZZT brain. Now, the analysis of the C equal one modelized spaces FZZZ and ZZT brains was done by Seibeck and Shi, and I will shortly recapitulate what precisely comes out. So, if you take the look at the singular locus of this curve, and since this you have this relation, you see there is always singular. So there's if you take this curve from the ground ring, then it will always have singularity. And so the moduli space really looks like this, where you have here you have localized the ZZ brain, and then. And then here you have the multi-covering of the Z brain. So it's a higher genus curve in which generically all this cycle of the one type are pinched, and this is the localization of the ZZ brains. And as you see, also the superpotential or the disk instanton potential, which leads to the FZZT brains, is exactly given by the same relations than in the topological string. And if you look at the second integral, which is an integral around non-trivial cycles, so this is basically an integral from some reference point to xy, this gives rise to the superpotential, and the integrals along closed cycle give rise to just count the number of ZZ brains. Now, you can also view the thing as introducing Z as a uniformization parameter, and then you can write y of this uniformization parameter also as a Chebyshev polynomial of the first kind, and x also, and then the relations which are defined as f are basically encoded in these two definitions. Now, so far the semi-classical picture is clear, but of course the main advantage of using the C equal 1 string is that you can solve it exactly, and you can see how the semi-classical picture will promote to the full quantum picture. And that is the main motivation also of this paper of Maldacena, Moore, Seibeck, and Shi. Now, so we want now to study what happens to this semi-classical picture, which I have keep for, so to say, for comparison here. If you turn on all the non-perturbative and perturbative effects, which you can actually calculate in this C equal 1 string series. Now, they are a uniquely suited study object because they can be solved by various methods. I mean, first method, and maybe the most direct method, is matrix model techniques. And second, and so to say, more insightful observations are that it relies that there are infinite symmetries in this model, and you can study the infinite symmetries and basically providing a couple of boundary conditions solving the whole series. Now, I will start with the matrix model because it's less abstract. So let's consider for a second the pure topological gravity, no matter. And this happens actually for the value of P, comma Q is 1, comma, 2, comma 1. So then you have there no contribution from this vector. And this can be analyzed in the double with the double scale scaled matrix model. So what is the approach to this? So basically, this gravity in two dimension is the problem of integrating over the space of matrix, and this can be discretized by a matrix model in the following fashion. So this is one example. It can be discretized. So basically, what you look at is an infinite integral, which is, so to say, written in a sleek form. I mean, it's an integral in, let's say, if the matrix has rung n of n variables, and it's written in this sleek form that you have this matrix integral, and then you have invariant expressions of this metric as the weighting factor. And the first thing is a Gaussian. It will lead to a propagator, which is a double line propagator, because you remember the indices of this matrix. And then the second term you can treat as a perturbation of that, and then you make a Feynman graph expansion of the of this integral, and it leads to this ribbon graphs or fat graphs, which I depicted here. And now the well, I mean, this is, so to say, a non-planar fat graph, which has genus 1 and 2 holes, because this hole is actually one hole. And this one here is a slightly more general piece of a fat graph. And you see the idea how this triangulates Riemann surface, or discretizes this Riemann surface, and finally discretizes the space of matrices is as follows. So to every fat graph, when there is a vertex, you have in the dual graph, you have a triangle, because this is special to the fact that there is a factor of 3. And these fat graphs induce, so to say, a dual triangulation of the surface. And now the hope or the intuition about this continuum limit that you want to take, because, of course, you don't want to leave the Riemann surface so as this bunch of triangles, is that for large V, then as V is the number of vertices, then also the number of polygons grow. And then there is, you can define a discrete metric, which is just defined by the deficit angles of this triangle. So basically, there's 5 or 6 or 7, and it becomes concave. So it's a metric where the curvature singularity are concentrated on points. And you can imagine that if you average this for more and more and take at the same time more and more triangulation, then it approaches a smooth metric in the modelized space of the metric that you want to integrate over. And now, if the number of this triangulation has something to do with the measure that you have to put on this space of metrics up to diffeomorphism, then you can hope that in some way you can take this this discrete enumeration of graphs with some integrand, and it will approach the integration over this two-dimensional measure up to isomorphism class. Now, of course, if you do this too naively, then you will see that this sum blows up in your face, and it's infinite. And a very nice analysis of this has been done by Itzig and Bestis and Zuber. So if you take this integral, which is the one that you want to integrate, and you approximate it by a matrix model, then you find that the genus G contribution grows in a very specific way with if you put a G, which is the coupling in the matrix model, to a particular value. And on the other hand, you can also see that the CG grow with the rank of the matrix, like Z goes to n to the chi. So it's basically what happens is that you make the number of triangles infinite, but you have also to regularize the area in a suitable way so that the curve stays finite. And so the right thing to do this large n limit is you put n to infinity, but you also put g to g to this critical value, so that this two grow behavior just cancel out, so that this product of these two things is just a number. And then you can expand, then you can hope that this is regularized in the right way to approximate this matrix integral. And there are many indications that this is in fact true. So if you there are certain quantities which you can calculate with the usual approach, with the continuous approach, and you can also calculate with the matrix model. And in this limit, there are many non-trivial checks. Now, the main idea is now that we can use the large N limit of the matrix model to extend the semi-classical approximation of the quantity that I defined before to the quantum level, and then look what happens in the quantum theory to this geometry. Now, the semi-classical approximation can also be viewed suitably as a WKB approximation of this wave function. And if you parameterize this in terms of this uniformization parameter, you find that it is given as an exponential of this disk instanton amplitude, which is weighted by 1 over h. So this is sort of the first term in the semi-classical approximation. And so this is the disk instanton amplitude which will follow from the ground ring, which is the classical geometry. And this prefactor is the annulus amplitude. And if you take this expression as the starting point, you can ask how is this defined in the quantum theory. And the way, or the quantity which recovers as a leading behavior, this semi-classical wave function, is actually given here. So it's the so-called brain creation operator, which is so the brain creation operator is basically the virtue of creating all instantons effect to a given brain at once. So once you put it in the matrix integral, it gives you not the amplitude which just comes from the disk, but it gives you everything. So that that operator is, so to say, the quantum extension of this semi-classical picture. And indeed, if you calculate the first order in H and then make the limit, then it becomes, of course, this expression. So this brain creation operator is basically an immense tool in this subject. So it's given by basically by the determinant of the position of this brain minus the determinant itself, and that you have to weight over all the matrix fluctuations, and then you get then the picture is that you get the geometry which is relevant in the full non-perturbative C=1 model. So this operators actually has first been used in this precise form in Maldacena, Moore, and Seiberg, but it also appeared a little less precise in this paper. And in fact, the one of these ideas is that you take the superpotential and augment it by a trace of log of the of this expression x minus. This is the macroscopic loop operator which has appeared in the matrix model literature long before. Now, the point is that this expectation value in the full fluctuating matrix theory of this determinant xi minus 1, so if you take such products and you would insert many of this d-brain, can be relatively easy calculated once provided that you have a basis of orthonormal polynomials for your matrix integral. Now, this orthonormal polynomials are polynomials in lambda, so lambda are the eigenvalues of this matrix, which have the property that if you integrate them against this matrix weight, then they are orthonormal up to some factor which you have to. Which actually contains most of the information at the end. So the this is well known in the matrix model literature. So for instance, in Morozov's review, you will find once you have such a basis of orthonormal polynomials, then you can write this operators as a normal determinant of this orthonormal polynomials over the Vandermonde determinant, and that's it. So So the Wandermann determinant is anyway it's obvious is oblivious always I mean it appears always in this at all points in this calculation because the Wandermann determinant is just the Jacobian that you get if you transform from all the matrix integrations to the integration over the eigenvalues. There will be, so to say, a factor which comes from the what is called radial parameters that you integrate out. Now, so this, so the idea is to take to see whether we can provide in a matrix model orthonormal polynomials by which we can calculate this expression. Now, so we need a matrix model whose multicritical points approach topological gravity with p comma 1. So before this was, so to say, 1 comma q. This was this matrix model I had on the blackboard. But the there are various ways you can do that, and one way which turned out to be suitable for us is the two matrix model which was invented by Dowell, Kazakov, and Kostov. And so this is a is a matrix model which has the integration over two matrices, and it has a potential has two potentials which depend on these two matrices, and both of them are Hermitian matrices. And now it's not not always so clear how this has anything to do with the triangulation of a Riemann surface with these operators of higher gravity inserted. So this is not so direct. So what people do is basically they argue with the infinite symmetries that they have, and then they show that if you take this matrix model, take the stable scaling limit, that you get expression which fulfill this this infinite symmetry. So it's not, it's by no means that I could draw a picture like the one that I had drawn before. So this depends on the coupling space, and as we have seen in the normal regularization of the matrix model, you have to tune this coupling space to special values, like this G equals C, GC in the one matrix model. And now, what they observed, Dowell and Kazakov, is that for this, if this is a Hermitian matrices, then you can specify this polynomials actually this potentials actually in many ways, but in many ways you can approach multicritical points which give rise to topological gravity coupled to p comma 1. Now a nice way of writing this potentials is actually in this residuum form. So you these potentials which are here in questions are written in this way, and now if the if these are integrated over its residuum, so basically this function y and z must have zero, must have zeros of order p and q at c equal 1, and the simplest choice that you can do is basically this choice. Then you get the matrix model whose multicritical points describe topological gravity with p comma q matter. And in fact, well, I mean, from now on, we restrict to q to p comma 1 matter, and that the reason is that it's very hard to find orthonormal polynomials for this general case. So, I mean, there are certainly some deeper reasons behind that, but let's put it as a technical thing. So you need this one polynomial basically to be linear, and the other polynomial can be complicated, and then you can do the steps that you have to do to solve for this quantum loop generating operator. Now, the point here is, of course, that B is just linear, so this is actually like a Lagrange multiplier, so you can immediately integrate out B, and then you find nice expression for this orthonormal polynomial. So the orthonormal functions are very simple. So you have this orthonormal functions, and you see they are given here. You need two functions, one a function of A and one of B. These are the eigenvalues of the two matrices, and they should have this property here, and you find that these are the functions which does that. So now you can proceed, and you can write down this expression, and the expression for n equal 1, so just one matrix inserted, is given by this very concrete expression. And now you must find the double scaling limit, and the way to To do this, if you formulate this this integral a little bit different, so there's another form that of the integral that you can pick, and now you look at the saddle point of these integrals, and what Dowell, Kazakov, and Kostov say tell you is that the multicritical point is if these saddle points coalesce k in the in of order p for this case. So in this case, you have to set gn equal 1 to cancel this factor, and this you have to tune to 0, then there will be a p order of this of the critical points. And you can do that, or you have to do this, if you do this carefully in order to extract the double scaling information, what you do is you scale n with e to the minus p plus 1, and z in this fashion with e, and y with, in this fashion with e, and if you take then the large n limit, this corresponds to setting e, sending e to 0. Now, one of the points is that in the Dowell-Kazakov integrals, you have to prescribe contour. Now, in order to extract this, really the solutions that you get when you do the double scaling limit, you have to follow this contour in the large scaling limit in order that your integral that you get at the end is the right integral. So basically, it's always sort of simple to find differential relations for your expression, but it's hard to find those differential those solution to the integral which actually correspond to the physical solution. So in order to do that, we have to pick a very specific contour, and now you can see that this contour can be closed, and it is equivalent to the in the scaled variables is this contour, and is equivalent in the unscaled variables to the contour which just surrounds set equals 0. Now, as I said, if you just are interested in differential relations, then it's actually not so difficult to find that this relation is fulfilled by this integral. You just you don't have to worry about contours to find that this is true. But if you take the contour, then you find here a specific area function. So the upshot is that the if you evaluate this this matrix. This loop operator in the background of the fluctuating matrices in the double scaling limit, which gives p comma 1 matter, then you get from the loop operator the generalized area function. So what does it mean? So that means basically that the that means basically the statement that I said at the beginning, that the open closed duality for c equal 1 string is that the that the open part is played by the series with d-branes inserted, which are described by inserting this loop operator, and the closed string part is played by the Concevich model, which describes the topological subsector of the C equal 1 model. At this point, it's a number because I just put in one d-brane. Well, because it's fairly simple to do several d-branes, and then so it's an area integral. But if you do several integrals, I mean that I will show you. Basically, if you take if you put in several d-branes, n d-branes, then this generalizes more or less immediately the whole thing that story that I told you to the matrix integral. So so you're right. I mean this was just a generalized area function. So. As I said, in some sense, it's much easier if you're just interested in differential relations, then you can even treat more complicated superpotentials, potentials, and that is, for instance, a potential which leads to integral flows, which are present in this P, Q model. So this is a perturbation which you see if you, you can realize then this integral that I showed you as a solution of the Akhiyeze-Baker function, so this y of c of y will be the Akhiyeze-Baker function for the KP hierarchy, and you can immediately check this by using a Lux representation of that, and that these operators do the right thing with this psi. It just comes from the integral. You don't have to worry about any contour. Just have to make sure that the thing converges in some sense. So. A virtue, of course, of this direct calculation is that it immediately gives you the right solution, the physical solution. So, in particular, this physical solution is specified by the property that if you put in a y real, then the solution then the A of y is real, And for y, well, it's actually the y tilde because it's a double scale variable. And for y tilde goes to infinity, it also decays exponentially. So that is the solution that we want. Now you can also do this in terms of a fermionic integral. So the trick here is basically you write your determinant as a Grassmann integration, and then you play around with your variables and integrate out at the end these Grassmann variables, and then you get actually the same formula. This is also a nice physical interpretation because it shows you that these matrices are basically the degrees of freedom which couple the ZZ brain to the FZZT brain. So you get a nice interpretation from this way of calculating this. Now, as was asked, what happens if you do multiple ZZ brains? Then you basically write a multiple insertion of loop operators, and you can evaluate this determinant, and by this property of the orthonormal polynomials, you get just a determinant of a more complicated combination of these orthonormal polynomials, and this expression in the double scaling limit reduces to something which can be written in this form, and this form you can also show just occurs if you take the matrix area function and integrate it out the variables one by one. This is basically the same form that Concevich also has in this paper. That's right. That's elementary. I mean, that basically relies on the properties of this orthonormal polynomials that they pick out certain contributions, and it's exactly this contribution. Now, of course, we need to identify more precisely this open-closed string variables. So how are they connected? And it's useful to write this loop creation or this brain creation operator in this form. And it's an old, so to say, result in the matrix model theory that this loop, macroscopic loop operator, can be expanded in terms of local operators of the closed string. So in some sense, this is also implicit in Concevich's work, but somehow there's no relation between the mass and cis literature in this point. But let's follow here this expansion of the macroscopic loop operator as it comes from this paper of Moore, Sarek, and Sauberdacher. So if you do that, you see that this L is the loop length variable, and you can make a transformation to the so you can make this this transformation to the variables y, and then if you compare the loop creation operators in this presupposed local expansion in terms of local operators and compare this with the area function, then you get first of all you get a divergent contribution, but this you can understand this basically comes from the disk instantons, from the disks and from the annuli. And if you remove this divergent contribution, then you get this statement. And from this statement, you can read off what are the closed and the open string variables. And of course, it works exactly in the same way than in Concevich's case. So you get this generalized Concevich-Miura variables, which transform from the open string variables to these closed string variables, which are basically traces of or symmetric functions in this Y. So one thing which, so to say, remains to be determined is this coefficient APK. So it is special to the P value that you look at, and is also special to the K by which you power this this Hermitian matrix Y. So how is the natural normalization of that? So there is a natural normalization, and that is so to say incorporated in this old conjecture of Witten, who claims that all these numbers, also for p greater than 2, can be calculated by certain intersections. And so this is a very rough definition, or that's basically what Witten writes down. And it turns out that this moduli space and the intersection problem was not so well defined by Witten, but in the meantime, there is apparently a lot of work on this, and people would at least know what they have to calculate. But we can, so to say, put the conjecture of Witten on face value and just claim that this function fulfills the string equation and a topological recursion relation, and then we get, of course, a normalization of these quantities if we put in the first intersection number that you can reliably compute. And if you do that, then you get for this closed and open string duality the following expression. So you get, I mean, that's basically this Concevich-Miura transform, and then there are some fairly ugly factors which you have to put in order to just you have infinite many variables, but you know that two things satisfy a hierarchy, and you can make of course the variable change. Now somehow these variables for this p for this topological matter with higher matter hasn't been calculated too much. Maybe I'm wrong, but so I don't think one can find them in the web as the for the 1, P model for also the lambda classes. I found them on the web, but this one I didn't found. So it, correct me if I'm wrong that that they are not calculated. But we calculated a couple of them, and they all turned out positive and rational. And well, for what? No, for the topological gravity, everything is null. So this is for the p equal to 2, 1. But for p, 1, from higher p is not null. And in fact, this Witten-Concevich conjecture is not proven for p greater than 2. And that has of course, to do with the problem of defining this intersection number properly and finding the right compactification of the modelized space. And I'm not an expert in that, but there's a lot of work by Jarvis, Polyachuk, Weintraub, and many other people on this. Yeah, so even you have proofs for genus 2. For any p, I suppose. A series is P series, yeah. That's right. Yeah. So at least it's, well, I mean, in any case, it's not proven for all genus, and it's not calculated even for many genus. But I mean, the outlook probably is that in the Concevich model, this matrix model, which achieves this which achieves the combinatorical translation of the calculation of the intersection model, is actually not the Airy function. You have to make a non-trivial shift. And of course, in this matrix model, it might be much more complicated. So you can hope that with this open-closed duality, since there are, as I mentioned, there are many ways to get the double-scaled matrix model of p, 1 matter. So you can imagine that, for instance, if you take a quiver theory, this looks a little bit more promising in terms of getting this Concevich picture of the triangulation of this modelized space. Of course, the modelized space is not so well understood, at least by physicists. And there's also related work by Rastelli and Gaiotto, and they use actually a reduction of closed of open string field theory to the zero mode sector, and that is leads basically to the same treatment of the modelized space than Concevich does, but it does nothing more. So basically the benchmark in whether we can contribute to this is whether we can provide a picture, better picture of the modelized space from the matrix model using this open closed string duality. So that's basically all what I had to say. There's a couple of more things in the there is an AN quiver theory, so you can actually, yeah. So one thing which I haven't dwelled too much about it is, but it's much of a philosophical discussion in this work of Seiberg, is you had the semi-classical modelized space was this curve. So this is a semi-classical modelized space. It's a branch covering of P1, so it's a higher Riemann surface in general. But if you do this, if you add all quantum correction, then it becomes, in this case, the Airy function of Y. And you see, this is actually, yeah. So this is actually the is actually an entire function over the y plane. So basically, what happens is that the geometry goes bye bye when you sum up over all these quantum corrections. And I mean, what the interpretation of this is in the relation to topological string theory, I don't know. Maybe it's just the wrong picture, or maybe it will guide to perturbative formulation of the topological string in some sense. But this is of, at least in the sequel one string picture is the idea. Why this opera is... Well, because it's basically, if you have the triangulated picture of the Riemann surface, it's the operator which creates a loop. So if you take the triangulated picture of the Riemann surface and you search for a certain operator which creates in this random partition a fixed loop, then you can write, at least in the discretized model, you can write down an operator. And the operator which does that is, so to say, is this W. So from the discretized version, you can get the intuition what this loop operator should be. I mean, it's basically you have to fix your random partition in a way that it always bears out the loop. Yes. Well, actually, I haven't looked really in this, but I suppose if you look at the discretized version, you would find some intuition. But I'm not really sure. So this you took on face value of the paper of Zyrak, Staudacher, and. But I believe actually in the Concevich paper he has this. He has this spaces which also have the sizes of all loops in it. I mean, he projects the modelized space to the space of the sizes of all the loops, and then R to the n, where n is the number of loops, and then the volume of the fiber of the space basically is the quantity that he calculates. So actually, also this transformation from the loop variable to the matrix model variable is exactly the same. I mean, this Laplace transformation that he does. So you don't ask for the specific form of the loop insertion operator, you do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.